It's just hard to imagine that we're going into a new year. Well, you know, this past month, December, we had a lot of things going on. Advent started the last Sunday of November. And then we had a wonderful time in the church where we lit the Advent candles every week. And we told the story from Scripture. And then we had coming up to Christmas Eve, which was December the 24th. We did not have church last Sunday because we had a Christmas Eve service and a full message, and we served communion, and we thought, well, the best thing would be then, since Christmas is on Sunday, families have official church worship on Sunday, Christmas Day. But we did a lot of celebrating in December, and we said we had a carol sing, and we did a lot of things, and we were in preparation. And I think the Advent wreath and the Advent candle tells us an awful lot about what we were to do and what we should do, and we lead up to the birth of Christ, and it's a wonderful thing. And, you know, Advent is really not over. On the church calendar, Advent's over because we were celebrating the birth of Christ. The Sundays that precede that, we call it Advent. But the most amazing thing about that is we are in a constant state of Advent. And what I mean by that, we are awaiting the return of Christ. Oh, we know Christ was born, and it's a wonderful time. Christmas is a beautiful time of the year. And we know that this little babe came into the world, and he took all the things in this life as he grew in wisdom and stature, and then about 30 years later, he started his ministry. Well, I was thinking. I went down to the Dollar Tree the other day to get some office supplies. I'm finding the Dollar Tree has cheaper office supplies than Office Depot or Staples or any of that. And I was just fascinated. They had more employees in that store that day than normal. And I was watching them. And they were taking down all the Christmas decorations in the store that they were having to sell. And they had boxes all over the place. And they were hanging up new decorations. They were replacing Christmas with Valentine's Day. Trinkets and cards and red boxes of candy and teddy bears and big hearts and candles for the romantic lighting. Well, they were just moaning and groaning and complaining as they were putting it down there. The one guy said, "Oh, I hate Valentine's Day. I never had a boyfriend, so I hate Valentine's Day." Well, it's interesting, right? Noting with these words, it's as though Christmas was over. When it's over, the empty boxes, the paper all over the floor, the old tinsel and remnants of the old tree, and all kinds of things, empty cartons. Life sort of like coming back to normal. Now, I'm not sure what normal is, but it means that the diversion of the past few weeks, the frenzy, the fuss, the lights, the glitter, now is just all packed away again, like the star atop the tree. Taken down, carefully wrapped, padded, protected, and put it in a box and for, like, next year. So what's left? The war in Afghanistan? Homeless people sleeping on doorsteps? Hungry people begging for food? Worry about your health. Kids are a concern. Jobs that wear us down. Stranded in an airport from the snowstorm. Don't even know if you're going to have a job when you get back. And don't even know when you might get back. The airline said, "Well, I don't know if we can get you out of here much before the 1st of January," and all that. Well, it's almost like Christmas. Oh, we have Epiphany coming up soon. The revealing of Christ to the world is what Epiphany stands for. And so why is Christmas now left behind? I think it's like the folk. You ever watch the old television program, The Lone Ranger? Hi-ho, Tonto! That had just been there in a town and visit. And then we cry out loud after the Lone Ranger left. Who was that masked man anyhow? Or better yet, who was that little babe wrapped in swaddling clothes left in a manger? Now, I think that we haven't moved that far from Christmas yet. We're just a week away from celebrating the birth of Christ, and we know that. Even though we have history on our side and we know by Scripture what took place and how it happened. So much was packed into those 4 weeks of Advent at the church and even in our personal life. I think we can keep talking about Christmas all year long. But who can handle that, right? Well, we don't want to clog the streets or clog the malls or the parking lots, but we could maintain a pace, right? You know, it's all year long celebrating the birth of Christ. Actually, we need to have a little respite from all of our busyness, don't we? Mary and Joseph wasn't allowed to reside permanently in Bethlehem, so neither can we. We need to get back to the real world. Well, it's a challenge, isn't it? Is it God on the run? You know, this week we're going to talk about the flight into Egypt. It's crazy that cruel old Herod the king had threatened the birth of Jesus, apparently fearing that Jesus would become a competitor for his crown. And since that was an intolerable possibility to him, and since he could not absolutely be sure which baby was Jesus, baby boy, he ordered that all the male children in and around Bethlehem who was 2 years old or under to be killed. Nice guy, right? Thus it was that angel of the Lord who directed Joseph to take Jesus and Mary and flee to Egypt. Let's imagine for a minute. How could that be? God on the run. Jesus the Christ fleeing for his life and running for his life too. In that scene, I think it might be shocking to all of us, and I must confess it's still shocking to me. And you say, well, wait a minute. There's more to the story. There's more to come. Now, we can imagine Joseph escaping into Egypt with baby Jesus. But surely we must say, oh, if Jesus was only a full-grown man, he would not run from Herod. The evidence, however, does not completely support that thought. A lot of time has passed. Oh, there was even times as an adult when Jesus would run away during the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem, which we call Hanukkah. One winter, some people wanted Jesus to tell them plainly, hey, are you the Christ child? You know, the little baby that's grown up and now you're 30 years old? Or, you know, are you the Messiah? Tell us, Lord, we want to know. And Jesus gave them an answer. I and the Father are one. What did they do? They took up stones to stone them. And then we read a little bit more in Scripture that they tried to arrest him, but he escaped from their hands. Notice that word again. It's a little bit like when Satan was tempting Jesus when he was in the wilderness. At the end of all that temptation, Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. You know the story. And that at the end of Luke chapter 4, the devil said to Jesus, okay, I'm going, but I'll be back. See, Jesus said, in this world we'll have trials and tribulation, but fear not, for you've overcome the world. we always, you know, we can say, get thee behind me, Satan, too, but he is always out there bugging the crap out of us. Amen? Well, anyhow, there's no getting away from it. Christmas tells us that God chose to make himself very vulnerable when he revealed himself in a person of Jesus Christ. Sometimes, at least, he had to run away from people like Herod and that stone thrower. But think about this. I think that we should say something like this. Please don't make the mistake thinking that vulnerability of Christ is a bad thing. No, it's not. It's a tremendous thing. In fact, it's the greatest thing in the world, for we are saved by Christ, who took the form of a servant, humbled himself. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up higher and higher. You know what's amazing? He even became obedient to death, death on the cross. What men called the weakness of God was the power of God unto salvation. It is Christ who is willing to risk and become vulnerable as we are. We're very vulnerable. Who is able to save us from our sins, identifying with our own human condition. He came into this world to experience everything we will experience or could experience. Rejection, and you know, you could go on to the whole list of things, up to and including death. But praise be to God, through the death, the burial, and the resurrection, the old devil thought he won. When Jesus was raised from the dead, he broke that bondage over sin and death. Wow! So now we are back in fellowship with God because what Christ did from a little baby at Christmas time, the Christ Mass. It's a worship service. We worship Christ. And as he grew in wisdom and stature, it became a great thing when he became an adult. Wow! Now, we might think that sometimes we're like supermen or superwomen, but we're not. There's powers, and there's people who can hurt us and even destroy us. There are times when we need to run away. I know that. Sometimes I just like to run away. And it's not always being a coward. It's just to get away from things, so to speak. So running away at times may be a very wise strategy. You know, the old saying goes, he who runs away lives to fight another day. Well, there are times, of course, when we cannot run away. And there's times that we must not run away. There are times when running away is actually being a coward. Jesus did not run away from his betrayers in the Garden of Gethsemane. But there is times that we must stand our ground too, no matter the cost. So nevertheless, there's other times when it's wise to run away. Timing has a lot to do with it. So our intentions about returning, if we run away, we need to come back and, you know, face the challenges, if you would, for another time. Because running away, there should always be a time of returning. That's an interesting thing. We are to return. You know, that's what repentance really, in the Jewish tradition, simply means return to God. Have a change of attitude and return to God. Well, Christmas is over. Epiphany is coming. A new year. But let's not forget where it all started. With the birth of a little babe named Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. Well, we have a lot of things that we need to pray for, and we have a lot of concerns. And, you know, one of the most beautiful things about being a Christian is that you don't need a preacher to pray for you or with you, because you have direct access to God. That's one of the beauty parts of when Jesus got to be an adult, and he took the sins to the cross of Calvary. And when he gave up the ghosts, the veil in the temple was rent in two, giving us direct access to God Almighty. In Jesus' name, talk to God. And we do. We come into a prayer of agreement with and for those who are on our prayer line. We think about it individually and personally, and just know that God is there. God is with us, for us, and He is always willing to listen to us, learn to talk to God. Well, the disciples knew that Jesus talked to the Father a lot, and they wanted to know if they could do it too. So Jesus said to him, I want to give you a model prayer for all of your prayers to line up with as we pray the prayer Jesus taught. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, have a wonderful day. You know, we got a new year ahead of us, and it's always nice sometimes just to take that eraser and just erase the board and have a fresh start. Well, God gives us a fresh start every day of our life. So receive the grace, the love, and the forgiveness, and keep on keeping on until He either comes for us or we go home to be with Him. In Jesus' name, have a great day.